we've seen in the years that we've been doing this is that other agencies that did not at one time maybe had 10% or whatever, other agencies have seen the benefits of hiring veterans to meet their mission critical occupations. So we've seen other agencies, while there's some that are large and small, may not be hiring large numbers, but the percentages of those veterans that they are employing now have risen dramatically over these past 5 years or so.
So it's really become more institutionalized, perhaps in agencies where there wasn't a culture so much of working with veterans in the past.
Absolutely. And again, I like to always think of this as kind of twofold, because we've been trying to educate veterans that there are more government than just the Departments of Defense and the Department of Veterans Affairs. We want them to expand their exploration of federal careers to other agencies besides those that they may be most familiar with.
What do you think has helped in terms of not only teaching veterans what the possibilities are in the federal government, but how to get a federal job?
Number one, I think understanding what veterans' preference is, understanding what the special hiring authorities are for veterans, and then understanding how to translate that military skill set into the skill sets needed in federal agencies. So that whole translation piece is critical, and I think we have to give a lot of credit to the Department of Defense for their whole revamping of the transition assistance process. They're changing the mindset of the military so that we're better preparing our servicemen and women for transition out of it, because at some point we're all, I'm former Air Force, every military member is going to transition out at some point.
What have they done in particular that's helped veterans or departing service members obtain federal jobs?
One of the things that OPM did was we created a federal employment training module that is available to service members through the Department of Defense's Learning Management System as they go through the transition assistance process. So that has been very helpful. And it's a, kind of plain language. It's not real technical. We want it to be easy to understand. That training module is also available to veterans that are not in currently in the service that are out now on our FedsHireVets.gov website as well. So that is a big piece. The executive order required some mandatory training for our on veterans employment for our HR specialists and for our federal hiring officials. So that is also helping on the hiring side to show the benefits and the strategic flexibilities that are available when it comes to meeting your staffing needs.
And speaking about those flexibilities and veterans' preference, there are myriad ways that special ways that veterans can be hired by the federal government. If there weren't the veterans' preference and if there weren't the special hiring authorities, do you think that the federal government would have as high numbers as it does?
Well, I'd like to think that, veterans are bringing a skill set and some unique talents that would definitely make them competitive for federal jobs. When we look at the money that's spent on the training of our men and women in uniform, it's natural that the federal government should try to get a return on that investment by bringing veterans on that meet their mission critical needs. Whether or not veterans' preference is been there in some form or fashion for many years. Whether that would decrease or increase without veterans' preference, I don't know if I could answer that.
We're speaking with Hakeem Bashiruddin. He's OPM's Director of Veteran Services. Let me ask you about some of the particulars. You did the report a bit differently this year for fiscal 2014 than in the past, in that you broke out some numbers in terms of new hires and then people who actually came on board and then retention. What was the thinking behind that?
Well, the executive order that the president signed established, the Council on Veterans Employment. And one of the things that is required is that we have some way of measuring how we're meeting the president's intent of that executive order. Previously, we strictly looked at the percentage of veterans being hired in federal agencies that were subject to this executive order. And we were very successful for several years. In 2014, we did the second iteration of our government-wide veterans recruitment and employment strategic plan. One of the things that we did in that plan was expand the focus of our veterans' employment to include retention. We wanted to make sure that, you know, yes, we're very successful at hiring veterans, but how successful are we at keeping them? And when I say a focus on retention, not that we want to retain, you know, veterans at any particular level, but we wanted to make sure that veterans should be at least being retained equal to non-veterans. So retention is an emphasis area now. And with that, we have a performance measure that we use that looks at kind of the employment cycle of veterans. So agencies will be rated. This is FY15 is the first year that this performance measure will go into effect. So we wanted to make sure that we included in the FY14 numbers those elements that would be agencies would be rated on in there. The total percentage of veterans hired, the total percentage of disabled veterans being hired, the total onboard rates of veterans, and the retention rates of veterans. So those four elements make up the performance model that agencies will be rated against.
I want to ask you in particular about those retention rates, because as well as the government seems to have done in terms of getting veterans working for the federal government, agencies don't seem as good about keeping them. Almost every agency had higher rates of retaining non-veterans than veterans. And when you look at the Small Business Administration, there was a 26% difference between veterans being retained and non-veterans being retained.
Well, each agency is different. You know, there's different, and I can't speak for each individual agency, but each agency is different, different cultures, different missions, different critical skill sets required. So it's kind of hard for me to comment on agencies that way.
There's at least a perception that we've heard at Federal News Radio, and that, in fact, some public speakers have said that this emphasis on hiring veterans makes it very difficult for people who are not veterans but are also qualified to get federal jobs. What's your response to that?
Well, looking at the data, fiscal year 14, we hired 33 of all federal employees hired. 33% were veterans. So one-third of our federal employees were veterans. That means two-thirds were not veterans. So apparently some non-veterans, quite a few non-veterans, are getting hired. So, you know, you hear that argument, but it's kind of generic. To me, I'm not really hearing or the data isn't really reflecting that non-veterans are having a difficult time.
What about the other side effect of this, looking at your numbers? Veterans hired by the federal government tend to be more male than others and also slightly more white. So when we have this other competing executive order that says to embrace diversity and inclusion, they seem to perhaps be working at odds a bit. How do you rectify that?
You know, this is a great opportunity for agencies and organizations. You know, there are, you know, very diverse veterans out there. The Council on Veterans Employment commissioned a task group to look at women veterans in the federal government. And we found that, you know, women veterans were very well represented in the federal government as when you compare it to their representation in the population at large. So the council saw an opportunity to look at the situation of women veterans to find out if there was things that we could do to ensure that our women veterans were able to or to have opportunities for our women veterans there. So, again, that goes for the other diversity issues in the federal government. The agencies have a great opportunity here to partner with their veteran employment program officers and some of the other diversity officers in their agencies to use veterans as a forum to meet their diversity needs. I think it's a great opportunity.
What are some things that agencies have done that are targeted towards female veterans?
Well, we do a lot of outreach to veteran service organizations specifically designed to provide services to women veterans. We've partnered with the VA's Women Veteran Services. We've partnered with the Department of Labor's Women Bureau. So, you know, these organizations are doing some great work to ensure that, you know, services are provided to women veterans. We understand that women veterans have different needs at different particular points in their transition period. So we want to make sure that when it comes to employment opportunities, women veterans are aware of what's available to them in the federal government. So, you know, that partnership and collaboration has gone a long way.
A year from now, it might be, well, it will be the last time that the Obama administration issues a report like this one. What would you like to accomplish by that time? And what do you expect to accomplish by that time?
Well, me personally, I would hope that this initiative is embedded in agencies and that there is a sustainability for it, that, you know, it's something that agencies feel is worthwhile. It's in being used in conjunction with other efforts at diversifying our federal workforce, that, you know, veterans are being taken care of and still consider federal government as a viable career option. So I would like to think that a year from now, as this administration winds down, that this is something that is becomes a legacy program that still has benefit to the American citizen as well as federal agencies.